It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning. Dawn has not yet arrived, but rush hour has here in the New York, New Jersey area. But the New Jersey Transit Service still remains suspended here in Hoboken following that horrific crash almost 24 hours ago. This 1907-era train station is now the site of a massive investigation. The question on the minds of many, why did this commuter train entering the station not slow down? It entered at a very high rate of speed. The speed limit usually less than 20 miles an hour. Instead, this train struck a metal and concrete barrier. The train then flew into the air. Debris was sent flying everywhere. A 34-year-old mother, identified now as Fabiola Bitar de Croon, was killed by some of that flying debris. She had just dropped her one-year-old daughter off at daycare. A total of 108 people were injured. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says searching for the cause of this terrible accident is going to take time. Listen.
The injuries, about 114, are the people who were on the train who were injured from the abrupt stop. But we don't know yet what it was. Was it equipment failure? Was it human error?
And in addition to searching for the cause of this accident, one of the things investigators will want to know is whether or not having PTC, and that stands for positive train control, aboard the train would have made a difference. That's a system that can override the engineer in the event of human error. Mechanical and electrical systems would have kicked in. Of course, investigators will be looking at the data recorders on board the train. Another thing they're going to be doing is speaking with the engineer. He's identified as Thomas Gallagher. He was treated at a hospital and released. He worked for New Jersey Transit for 29 years, 18 of those years as an engineer. Those who know him say he loved his work. Authorities say he is cooperating with the investigation.
All right, that was David Lee Miller of Fox just this morning. I wanted you to have the latest. And, you know, from my perspective, every day when there is loss of life, these incidents that keep happening, tragedies, almost now, you know, it's been like weekly and now it's getting even midweek. It's just amazing to see the disaster that is coming on us from all areas. And I just want to admonish you, as I admonish myself, not to take this stuff lightly, because human life has been lost, one mother, but all of these people injured in this train. And we can't get hardened and say it's just one more and what difference does it make? Because, in the words of Hillary Clinton, it is important and we need to pray for the people of Hoboken and pray for the investigators, and we'll follow that. I talked a great deal yesterday. We spoke a great deal about the coming onus on each of us to take a stand. And I talked about people that are already paying a price. I mentioned Congressman Tim Huelskamp, who I talked to this week, who was targeted by House leadership for defeat, and he was defeated. He's got two children, and now in January he won't have a job. I think of Ted Cruz, who gave his all to running for president, and regardless of how you feel about him, it's hard for him. Trust me, he's paying a price here in Washington. I think of Kim Davis, who we all know was the Kentucky clerk. It's difficult to take a stand. And I think of the cake bakers in Oregon. I think of the florist in Washington State. People who have cared enough about their commitment to God that they would not bend. And one of the people in the last two decades who has really done this is, I consider him a friend, and he's certainly someone that I admire tremendously. You will recognize his name. It's Justice Roy Moore. He made headlines back in 2003 when he refused to remove a privately funded monument to the Ten Commandments from his courtroom, And he was removed from his position and spent a lot of, you know, several years out of office and still standing strong, refusing to budge on what was constitutional and what was right. Then he was elected by, I think, something like 90% of Alabamians back to the court and became Chief Justice. And now he finds himself in another very difficult position because he is a man of principle. And another man of principle is defending him. Matt Staver has made it his life's work to defend these people who we all need to be, who are willing to do whatever it takes to advance the kingdom. And Matt joins us this morning to talk about Chief Justice Moore. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Very nice to have you, too. I really appreciate it, Matt. By the way, Matt is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Matt, what's going on with Chief Justice Moore now? This is not making headlines like he did before. What's the circumstance?
Well, on Wednesday, we were in the Court of the Judiciary all day for the trial of the Chief Justice, and he testified. And I think the evidence was very, very clear that he should never be in this situation. He didn't do anything wrong. So where we are right now, and we'll get into what he actually testified to, but where we are is the Court of the Judiciary, which is a panel of nine people. There's three that are non-lawyers, there's one that is a lawyer, and the rest of them are judges. So that's how they're made up. They're all appointed. They're the ones that are deliberating the issue, and they deliberated at the end of the hearing on Wednesday and Thursday, and within 10 days of that hearing on Wednesday, we will have a decision. That is by a rule. You have to have some decision by 10 days. So I expect that it even could be today.
Wow. All right. So the decision is to remove him from the court?
Yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center filed this complaint against the Chief Justice. And ironically, the Judicial Inquiry Commission, where they filed the complaint, then went out and hired the former legal director of the Southern Poverty Law Center to be the prosecutor of the case. So the Judicial Inquiry Commission, the way it works, it's kind of like the grand jury, but it's also the prosecutor. So once it files a charge, it then prosecutes it. So they went out and hired a former legal director of the very organization that filed the complaint to be the prosecutor in the case. So what happens also is whenever a charge is filed by this JIC, this Judicial Inquiry Commission, under Alabama law, unlike the other 49 states, which do not do this, no matter what the charge is, that judge is automatically suspended pending the entire outcome of this case. So he was charged in May, and he was immediately removed from the Chief Justice's position. So May and June, July and August, September, you know, they all are here and they are gone. And now we're moving into the end of September and in October. He's still off the bench because the case hasn't been finally disposed of yet. And then after this, of course, there's the possibility of appeal. So this process where they file these charges and you're automatically suspended is so erroneous, it's so egregious. They can file anything they want to and pick off these judges that they don't like. And in fact, that's what I think is happening here. The complaint centers around a four-page order. Anyone can read it. And it was issued on January 6, 2016. And really, all it is a status report. Now, in this case, what they're alleging is that the Chief Justice ordered the probate judges to disobey the United States Supreme Court decision. And he testified unequivocally that that is not what he did. That is not what the order says. In fact, the order specifically says, and this is his words, "I am not at liberty to give any guidance or direction." And he goes on to say the case is under review and deliberation by the Alabama Supreme Court, which will issue a decision in the near future. He didn't give any guidance or direction. He just gave a status report. Well, why did he give a status report on January 6, 2016? The reason is because it was the expiration of 6 months to the day when the case should have been ultimately decided. And in Alabama law, you have to make a decision within 6 months. Otherwise, you have to report why you're delaying. Well, the Alabama Supreme Court had asked for everyone to give briefing in 2015. They said, give us your briefs on the case regarding the effect of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on our previous orders. That's what they asked. And they said, we want this by July the 6th, 2015. Well, 6 months to the day, they still had not issued a ruling. He had tried to get them to make a ruling. He says, rule whatever. It doesn't matter. One way or another, you can't just simply not rule. And then on the 6th month to the day, when they were required to issue some kind of order, he issued a status report that simply says the case is still pending, it's under review, a decision should be forthcoming. Now, a decision did come down 2 months later, in March of 2016. But when you read this order, you ask yourself the question, does this order advocate outright rebellion by the probate judges? The answer is no. And, you know, you brought up the Ten Commandments matter. The Chief Justice testified very specifically. He said, you know, in the Ten Commandments case, that was his personal decision. He had to weigh the consequences of that. And that was his personal decision. Anybody who does any act has to have the personal decision and weigh the consequences. But as a judge, he said, he would never order anyone to disobey any law. He says he can't do that as a judge. He's the judge, and he would never put anybody in a situation where he's ordering them to violate any law. He said that's something that a person has to make their own decision. What are they going to do? But I cannot and will not ever order anyone to violate the law. And that was his unrebutted testimony before the Court of the Judiciary on Wednesday.
Matt, the last time when I had more familiarity, when it was the Ten Commandments case, this panel that reviewed his situation then was made up of some of his fellow justices. And I remember well that, you know, they were split, but some of them really undermined him and, you know, a lot of pain through that. Any way, I know I'm getting personal now, but any way to know, any feeling that you have about this panel and the makeup of, you know, you've already described the makeup to a certain extent, but not exactly where you think they might be leaning. Do you have any inkling at all of how they might come down on this?
Well, you know, I can't really predict what each one of them are going to do. I just do know, however, that when you look at what was presented in the hearing and the actual misstatements of the law, just unbelievable misstatements of the law by the Judicial Inquiry Commission, that anyone walking away from that will come away and say there is absolutely no way that they can come to a conclusion that he is guilty of anything and that they should dismiss, therefore, the JIC charges. In fact, you know, what the JIC did in their closing argument, they did about 45 minutes or so in their closing argument. They got up and they said, and they made this a central point of their entire argument, that the Supremacy Clause, they said, of the United States Constitution means, they said, that state courts have to follow federal courts, that they have to defer to federal courts. That's what they said the Supremacy Clause is. Well, the Supremacy Clause says that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Mm. I came back up and I quoted case after case after case that was absolutely the contrary. U.S. Supreme Court decisions, Alabama Supreme Court decisions, Federal Circuit Court of Appeals decisions governing this area, including a unanimous United States Supreme Court decision from 2013, unanimous, 9-0. And they all say the same thing, that when state courts and federal courts are interpreting the federal constitution, they are equal. That even a state trial court does not have to yield in its interpretation of a federal constitutional question to even a federal district court or even a federal court of appeals over that whole area. The only one that is over all of them is the United States Supreme Court. And so therefore they said, yes, it is nice that if you don't have state and federal courts disagree on federal questions, but there is nothing inherently wrong with that. And in fact, it happens all the time. So it completely undermined their whole argument. Their argument was that as soon as the federal lower court in the case issued
Matt,
an injunction...
Matt, hold on. Let me interrupt you just for a second. Jeff, hold the break just for a second. Hold it just for a minute. Hold it for about two more minutes, please. Matt, I'm sorry, because otherwise we were going to go out, and I want to hear the rest of your sentence, and I want to ask you one more question, so please continue.
Their whole argument was that the Alabama Supreme Court orders of March of 2015 were automatically just simply wiped out as soon as a lower federal court issued its ruling, and that's completely a wrong conclusion of law, completely. That's their whole case, and therefore... This Alabama Supreme Court shouldn't be having to do anything, and therefore the Chief Justice should not have even had to do a status report. It's absolutely erroneous, and I think clearly what was evident is that there's no basis for their charge and that it's politically motivated. and it needs to come to a conclusion. It needs to stop. You can't have the Southern Poverty Law Center file these complaints, and I think that they do have people on the JIC that are clearly in their favor. And then they issue these erroneous charges, and a chief justice or any judge is automatically suspended. That has to come to an end, and the chief in this case needs to be back in his position as chief justice with the people of Alabama elected him to serve.
It's a strange time when we have to argue for right and wrong and truth, when judges, you know, are being appointed to the bench who have opinions that they allow to makes them rule in ridiculous ways, when you have good men like Justice Roy Moore, like good women like Kim Davis, people who are doing what's right, have the world turned upside down and have really the bad actors come after them and prevail. It's really very disheartening, Matt, but it's you are playing the role of a champion and, you know, drawing the line. And even if we lose, the line has to be drawn. We have to remind people of where the plumb line is, what's right and what's wrong. I kind of view that as the end game now, even if we can't prevail on these things. One last thing, is there anything that we can do? Two things. The people of Alabama, how are they responding? And secondly, what can we do?
Oh, the people of Alabama are overwhelmingly in support of the Chief Justice. In fact, when he walked into the courtroom, the entire court, except for a few people, stood up and gave him a standing ovation to begin the trial. Now, they're supposed to, you know, not do anything. The judges weren't in session yet, but they overwhelmingly support him. And, in fact, there's a poll that came out recently. If you were to vote for a governor right now, who would you vote for? And the Chief Justice was number one.
Wow.
Throughout the entire state of Alabama. You know, I think right now just pray for the Chief Justice and pray for these nine members of the Court of the Judiciary. That's the critical issue, that we need to have clarity and we need to have justice prevail. And prayer is really what you need to do right now.
All right, we can do that. Matt, thank you so much. Matt Staver, again, with Liberty Counsel, the founder and chairman. And Matt, your time is valuable, and I always appreciate it. And more than that, I just appreciate what you do for the country. So,
thank you. My pleasure. We'll
talk to you soon. All right. Thank you. This is Sandy Rios. So, you know, this is Friday, so this is when we open the phone lines. We've got email and Facebook, and our phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'll take a break and be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof describes the church today. In the letter to the church at Ephesus, believers are called to repent for no longer putting God first in their lives and failing to share their love for God with the same zeal they had as new believers. And failing to repent, he said he had removed the testimony of the church. It's time for the church to repent and get back in the game of winning the lost. Indeed, it's a team sport. It requires every one of us to play our positions well, using every ounce of our talent and experience to glorify God and lead people to him. It's time for the church to be the church. Turning every circumstance into an opportunity to lead people to Jesus Christ is God's purpose for your life. And Revival Outside the Walls makes it fun when you rely on our ROTW mobile app throughout your day.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. Students at the University of Michigan can now choose their designated gender pronouns, regardless of biology. It's part of the university's effort to foster inclusiveness, regardless of reality. They've launched an online service so kids can plug in their own gender identity. It's a way to help professors tell the difference between the guys and the gals and the Z's and the Zers. And that brings me to Grant Strobel, a 21-year-old political science major. He's a conservative and a bit of a prankster. He decided his personal gender pronoun would be His Majesty. Since the computer accepted Grant's desired pronoun, that means his professors must call him His Majesty or else risk punishment. Grant readily admits that His Majesty is not a pronoun, but neither are Z and Zer. But when you institutionalize stupidity, anything goes. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I want to just tell you a couple of news stories, and then we're going to go right to the phones. 888-589-8840. A lot happened this week. Remember, there was a debate. But now so many things happen in a given week. It really is, the information that comes our way is unfathomable, really. And but anyway, I had this story that came this morning that I just have to share with you. And here's the headline. Denzel Washington takes plea deal in strangling of Aretha Franklin. A Manhattan man named Denzel Washington took a plea deal Wednesday for strangling his mom, whose name is, wait for it, Aretha Franklin. I just couldn't resist. You know, when I used to do a radio in Chicago, we did a lot of funny stories, and I hardly ever do anything funny for you, but this cracked me up. The headline, Denzel Washington takes plea deal in strangling of Aretha Franklin. Not that I want Aretha Franklin to be strangled. I don't, but I just thought that was hilarious. And, you know, you need a laugh occasionally. And now we're not going to laugh because I want to tell you this story. This is amazing. The Turkish 20-year-old who killed five people at Macy's in Washington not even a week ago. Now we know he's not a U.S. citizen, but he has voted in the last three elections. I remember on his Facebook page, I remember reading early on, he was talking about voting for Hillary Clinton, and now we know he's not even a citizen. And so Washington doesn't require a proof of citizenship before you vote. So see, you know, you suppose anybody besides the murderer, terrorist, we believe he's a terrorist, his connection to terrorism was played down. They said he was Hispanic male. They didn't think it was connected. And now we know he was connected. So, and not a citizen. And voting. So thank you, administration. Thank you, Republicans and Democrats, for bringing in countless amounts of immigrants without any kind of check for doing. Thank you for President Obama for pushing through motor voter where anybody can register, and looks like tons of them are voting and they have enough ability to sway elections. We know they've done that in the past. I think it was the senator in Minnesota whose election was swayed by 300 votes, and they know now it was illegal immigrant voting. Can't remember his name at the top of my head, but. And by the way, the certain colleges now, there's a buzz going around among college students. I'm not sure who's starting this. Gee, I can't imagine. But they're encouraging students to vote at home and vote at school so they can vote twice or using different locations and separate voter registrations. And the word is this, that is a federal crime. It is a federal crime to vote illegally, to fraudulently vote. And so you don't want to do that. And if you have any college kids, you might want to tell them this is not a prank. This is not a joke. And it may very well be that nobody is caring right now because we are living sort of in lawless times. But if really, if someone else takes office and the Justice Department switches with, we're all praying for that. At least I am. There's going to be a Roto-Rooter, you know, rooting out all of this stuff. And that will be, that can come back to haunt you. Don't do it. Do not do it. Do not encourage others to do it. Don't laugh at it. It could go on your record. You could be guilty of a felony for the rest of your life. And so tell your kids that's not funny and they mustn't do that. By the way, Chelsea Clinton went to a clean energy conference in Greenville, North Carolina. But the trouble is, at this clean energy conference, she took a private jet and she flew from Greenville to Asheville, which is just a few hours drive. She took the private jet to the clean energy conference, which is, you know, which is what Al Gore did the same thing. It's just amazing. The Clintons do that all the time. They use private jets. Mrs. Clinton hates flying. She doesn't. Can you imagine Mrs. Clinton on a regular airline? So, you know, they're all about clean energy. And so is the president. All about it, but not for them. Not so much for them. And one other thing I want to tell you, I don't have time to expand this like I'd really like to, because this is actually a great story. Congressman Henry Hyde from Illinois was the chairman of the Judiciary Committee that impeached Bill Clinton in the 90s. And I was on the air in Chicago during then, and I knew Congressman Hyde. I knew him. And he used to come in and do interviews with me, and he'd have an aide with him. And he came to the studio, did the very first interview after the impeachment was over on my show. We did two full shows. And he sat across from me, and we talked and we talked. And it's like picking up a kid from camp, you know, at church. You get the best stories when they just come in from gotten off the bus. And that's what I got from Congressman Hyde. It was really amazing. And the other thing is, when he came this time to the studio, he had four bodyguards because his life was in danger. But the thing that I remember, Congressman Hyde, of course, is not with us anymore. He told me about Juanita Broderick, and he told me how credible she was and how she was a Democratic. She supported the Clintons, and she was part of the campaign, and she's very bright. And she had come forward to talk about how Bill Clinton had raped her. And he told me during a commercial break, he raped her twice, Sandy. And I'll never forget that. So now, when I read this, Chelsea Clinton sort of has poo-pooed Donald Trump's claim that about, you know, talking about her father's past sex scandals. You can understand she's a girl, it's her dad. How horrible for her when she stops to think about this. But Juanita Broderick went on Twitter because Chelsea was sort of dismissing her claims. And she said, actually, it was a, you know what, it was an interview in Cosmopolitan that Chelsea did that Juanita was responding to. And so Chelsea said, candidly, I don't remember a time in my life when my parents and my family weren't being attacked. And so it just sort of seems to be in that tradition, unfortunately. And what I find most troubling by far are Trump's continued relentless attacks on a whole swaths of our country and even our global community. But Juanita Broderick tweeted this. Chelsea, she wrote, you said you don't remember a time in your life that your parents weren't being attacked. There's a very good reason for this. Your parents are not good people. The truth is what has brought the attacks on your family, and you are smart enough to know that by now. I was 35 when Bill Clinton raped me, and Hillary tried to silence me. I am now 73. It never goes away. That's just part of what she said. And now she's saying she's fearing for her life if Hillary Clinton should be elected. I just think that's an interesting story, and so there you go. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to David. Good morning, David. What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, a whole lot. But I wanted to bring these facts up. Do you remember a guy, Russell Simmons?
Yeah, I remember the name.
Does the exercises and tracks men and women about their weight?
Oh, it's not Russell. It's Richard. Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons?
Yeah.
Okay, I stand corrected. But this guy, I mean, did this for 10, 12 years. You know, and nobody has ever downed him for anything. Now, I don't agree with what Mr. Trump said. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if you want to compare, let's look at all the facts. He made a mistake. They've cleared Mr. Simmons, and they have no issues anymore. Now, I'd like to also say that, you know, the disadvantage with the voting as far as with Donald Trump, he only has deplorables supporting him. Hillary Clinton has Hollywood, feminists, LGBT, Black Lives Matter, Muslim Brotherhood. These are all minority groups, but if you take the minorities, sooner or later they become a majority. You know, and all this is through lies. I mean, I have too many things running through my head right now.
Yeah, well, hang on just a second. Let me just tell you, I don't know if you saw, I was actually going to do a few series of reports, and I'm not going to get sidetracked too much here today, but the assault on Donald Trump right now is amazing. USA Today actually came out with this today. You people that buy USA Today or read it, it says Trump is unfit for the presidency. They have never endorsed or written or weighed in on a presidential election, so they say, in 34 years. But now they're weighing in, and they're calling him erratic, ill-equipped, a serial liar who is guilty of prejudice. And they have this video on their USA Today that's it's just very damning and damaging. So, and that's a paper, you know, that's a very that's probably the most widely read newspaper in America, even though it's kind of like, I'd say, slash tabloid. There are some good things in USA Today, but boy, they have an opinion, political opinion, and so don't think that they are on the fence. And now they've certainly proven that they're not on the fence. A lot of things are stacking up against Donald Trump, no question about it, David, and we'll just have to see how it all plays out. Let's go to Kathy in Arkansas. Good morning, Kathy. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Sandy. I listen to you every morning.
Thank you.
My son is at Fort Benning, Georgia right now, in the 198th Infantry going through basic training. I'm a school teacher, and every year I do books on the military. I'm a SEAL Team 6 warrior. This year we're doing Adam Brown's story, Fearless, and my students are alarmed at the number of people that the Clintons released that had a role in 9/11 after the Somali incident. And I'm fighting that battle, and on Facebook, my African-American friends have just been all over this Kaepernick thing. And they have said, some of them have said that it's ridiculous, you know, that I feel it is a horrible thing that he sat down during the national anthem. And my point is, football was invented by Walter Camp from Yale. It's an American game. If he truly wanted to protest, why did he not sit out during the whole game?
That's a good point, Kathy. I think the one thing that I think is always left out that I always say, because I feel like I just must, Kaepernick is not some noble protester. He's got, like, he wears socks in practice that say cops are pigs. And he has, a girlfriend who's Muslim who was a DJ on MTV. There is something going on there that isn't all about, you know, gee, I'm worried about my black community. There is something more insidious going on there. And I refuse to regard him as any kind of hero at all. And your point is that if he's really going to do something, pay a price and not just, you know, grandstand and get attention, which I think is what he's doing. Kathy, how old are your students?
My students are from 7th through 12th grade.
Well, they're lucky to have you as their teacher. And they're probably learning things that nobody else is, I'm guessing. Kathy, listen, God bless you. I've got to take a break here. And listen, your mother's heart, concern for your son. God bless him for stepping up to the plate and serving his country at such a difficult time. And God bless you for being the mother of a son like that. All right, I'll have to take a break. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. More of your calls and some email when we come back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
The gay agenda, Islam, liberation theology, aggressive socialism. You ask yourself, how should I respond to these attacks on my Christian faith? How can I share Christ in a sinful culture? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. An online Master of Arts in Apologetics from WBS will prepare you to defend and share your faith in an increasingly hostile world. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning challenge culture. WBS.edu.
The way we interact with both our church and our unsaved friends ought to be defined by our understanding of the gospel. In a series called For Goodness Sake, Alistair Begg brings helpful instruction and insight from the book of Titus. Listen weekdays to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR Talk and online at afr.net.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The headline in a British tabloid yesterday read, quote, "A huge solar storm is heading towards Earth, which could leave us without mobile phones, satellite TV, and even electricity," end quote. Fortunately for us, the headline was wrong. Just because we dodged the sun's bullet this time, however, doesn't alter the fact that such a space weather forecast is in our future. Roughly every 150 years, the sun unleashes towards Earth an extremely intense geomagnetic disturbance. The last time was 157 years ago. So we are in the zone. Unless electric and electronic devices are protected against such enormous energy loads, they will likely be destroyed. And, for the most part, ours are not protected, including those essential to the functioning of our electric grid, which is essential for most of our lives. We have to secure the grid. Now. This is Frank Gaffney. Learn more at securethegrid.com.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Are you kind of glad? I'm glad. And you know what? I'm always glad. I always think to myself, Lord, thank you that we are still living at least a normal existence, that we can still have a weekend, look forward to church. We still have freedoms. Last night we went out to dinner with our pastor and his wife, actually. It was lovely. And we could talk about and say what we thought. And I don't know how much longer that's going to be the case. So thank you, Lord, for this weekend and for normal life and for families and for this level of freedom that we still enjoy. And so but we've got to fight to keep it, you know, for many reasons. I want to read just a couple of emails, and I'm going to go back to the phones. This is from Kristen. She said, in regard to the internet, which is due to go to the international body ICANN tonight at midnight, unless there are three attorneys general trying to stop it right now. Three, I believe. I don't have the story in front of me, but I think it's Oklahoma, Texas, Nevada, and I'm not sure about the other one. And they're trying to get this thing stopped in the courts. But Kristen asks, do you think Donald Trump can help with this? I know he is an outsider, but he has a huge following. I feel like most people have no idea what's happening or at stake, as usual. And it's true, Kristen. Last night I was watching Fox, and Brett Baer did a report on this, and the only person he talked to was a senator who's all in favor of the handover. And you have to understand that on certain things, I can say this now, Fox is trustworthy on some things and not on others. And when it comes to big business interests and certainly leadership in the Republican Party, there are isolated voices there that I trust on those issues. But the overall theme is unity. And so they said nothing. They didn't talk about, they just gave sort of a passing mention to the concerns because, you know, they're tied into big business. And big business is pushing this. Big tech is pushing this whole thing. And you ask about Donald Trump. Donald Trump did come out against this week. He did not bring it up, last weekend, I guess it was. He didn't bring it up at the debate, which was a big disappointment for some. But I think I was told he just didn't. It's a complicated situation, and he's not good at explaining anything. So he's not going to be good at explaining that. So he didn't bring it up. And Mitch McConnell is using Donald Trump as the reason why the Republicans in the Senate were not able to stop this, as though they tried. But Mitch McConnell is blaming this on Trump because he came out in favor of it, and now that made it really popular. That's just not true, and that's the kind of games they continue to play. And let me read one more. And this is from Chris, who is actually a judge who listens all the time, and it's just a scripture. It's Psalms 36, 7 through 9. His light becomes even more brilliant the darker our world gets. How precious is your loving kindness, O God! And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Chris, thank you for that reminder, and it certainly is true. And so that's what we're trying to do, talk about the news, but in light of eternity, if that's possible. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Texas. Terry, what's on your mind? Good morning, Terry.
Yes, Sandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good morning. Yes, I want to first off thank you for your everlasting show every day. It really gives me a boost that I know somebody's still on the Christian side.
Thank you.
Fox News, all them I don't have any use for anymore. But my question is, and I'll make it real quick, why does a suggestion for Donald Trump is to put the Benghazi survivors on that front row? Because Hillary don't care how many bimbos he puts up there. I mean, she runs into them all the time. She's not going to be as rattled. But I think if you put Charles Woods and Pat Smith and something on those front rows, she's going to get really rattled.
Terry, that is a great idea. That is a great idea. I'm with you. And
I don't know how to call and tell him that. If you've got interconnections, it'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a great idea. Let me just say this though, because I still love Fox. What I said a minute ago does not mean I do not value them. I play their clips every day. I use them. I watch them all the time. But you just have to know where people are coming from and which parts you can trust and which parts you might not be able to. And on the business issues, on immigration, I'm not saying everyone. I'm just saying you have to weigh the person who's talking. And note that most of the time the news programs are going to line up with the Republican establishment, with Paul Ryan, with Mitch McConnell. They're not going to take the side of of Ted Cruz, and they're not going to take the side of Tim Hill's camp. So you just have to know that, and then know when it comes to national security, they are tops. They're doing a great job on that. So anyway, just want to make sure that we were clear about that. Terry, thank you so much. I do appreciate your comments. Let's go to Tennessee. Shirley, good morning. What's on your mind today?
Good morning. I just wanted to say Lord bless the justice you were speaking of earlier. I mean, he hadn't done anything illegal, and they're trying to get rid of him. And our Supreme Court has been renegade, and so has Obama, and they won't even impeach him, and they won't get rid of those. I want to say Donald Trump won the debate, in my opinion, and in the opinions of a lot of people who've been undecided, because he made the most memorable statement. He said that Hillary hadn't done any of this stuff she's saying she's going to do in 24 years, and she's had the chance. So why would she do it now? And that's true. Kaepernick, he's just playing the Hollywood. You notice how many NFLers have tried to marry Hollywood stars or people in media or something, because he's just worried about the money and keeping him a fat check. And I'm an African-American saying it. He has no sense. And he'll play up to anything that'll give him a dollar. The illegals voting is concerning to me because I could see that going awry. As a matter of fact, I could see them bringing enough of them in to override the votes of Trump and have Hillary win. And I think that's their plan, but I believe God's going to confound that. And as far as the Internet, why would you give the Internet to the Russians, liberals, when you're the one saying that you're afraid that the Russians are going to steal the election? So then you're giving them the tool to steal it? What do they want, martial law, so that Obama can go ahead, if Trump wins it, Obama can go ahead and call martial law and say he didn't win it, they stole it, and turn us over to the UN, which I think is their full plan. One world government, one world order. And Chelsea, I would tell Trump, Chelsea's going to be at every debate, so don't be afraid to speak out freely. Sure. She'll be on the front row for her parents.
Shirley, how in the world do you keep all this? How in the world do you? People want to know. Inquiring minds want to know how you keep all of this in your head. You are really gifted. You understand the issues, and you spout them out in sound bites. You come up with unique perspectives. I mean, really, girl, you got it going on. I mean, do you spend a lot of time reading the news? And I don't mean to. It's fun, but also it's very profound, the things that you say.
I don't spend a lot of time reading the news per se, but I listen to your show, which helps keep me in the know, and other shows. And I read a lot of things dealing with the Pope, his plan in the New World Order, and et cetera, because it's very interesting. People call these conspiracy theories, but this stuff is happening. But it's going to implode on their heads, is what I was going to tell you. I spend a lot of time in the Bible. This whole thing, if they mess up America and cause it to be turned over to the UN and cause a financial meltdown that causes chaos and come in and turn us over to the UN, it's only going to hurt them, because God is about to remove his people somehow, some way. He removed Noah. He removed Lot, and he's going to remove his people. He's never had his people to have plagues poured on them along with the other folks. Jesus always saved his own, so I want to encourage people while I have a second. Whatever happens, do what's right before the Lord, stand with Christ, but whatever happens, know that they're only causing their own demise, these liberals.
Yep, it's true, Shirley. I absolutely true. I always say I would not want to be in their shoes. I wouldn't trade places with them. I don't care how many court battles they win. I don't care how many institutions, how many billions they put in their coffers. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Can you imagine standing before God with the trail of blood behind them and with the injustices that they have overseen, with the lies that they have told? It's going to be hard enough for all of us to stand before a holy God, but I would not want that to be charged against me. So it kind of gives us mercy sometimes for them when we think about that, and also encouragement, because God is a God of justice. Shirley, thank you always. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Betty. Good morning, Betty. It's the girls this morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, it is. It's really a pretty morning. It's good to hear you always. You're such an encouragement to those of us out here.
Thank you.
I wanted to mention that I heard on this particular station this morning that there's a North Carolina judge that ruled that illegal immigrants can vote in this upcoming election. And I was just taken back by it. I thought, well, what in the world are state legislators for if you've got a judge that can rule in that manner?
You know what, Betty, that's a story. I saw the headline, and I didn't read the story, so I don't know. But this is obviously... this is what the left is trying to do. I have said at this mic and will repeat that when Bill Clinton, it was Edward Kennedy who started this mass immigration from the third world. He's the one who cooked this up and saw it through. And then Bill Clinton carried on. And I remember in Soldier Field in Chicago in the late 90s, whatever year it was that he was running for election, they were lining people up. They had so many to swear in to citizenship. They were trying to get them sworn in before the election. And they brought thousands into Soldier Field and did a mass swearing in. And this is what's happening all over the place. It's going to be legal, illegal, but they are trying to transform America using immigrants from other countries who don't understand our law, they're not coming for the same reasons. You know, immigrants in the past came because they loved the American ideal. They loved the freedom. They loved the ability to just work hard and get ahead and make a life. And the immigrants that are coming here, I think, are just not, this is not every one of them. But many of them now that they're legalizing quickly, they're not leaving their own countries. They're not learning the language. They don't know the culture here. They don't know the Constitution. And they are literally transforming this country. And that's the way Barack Obama and Mrs. Clinton, by the way, she wants to increase Muslim immigration by 500%. So, yeah, they're doing everything they can to transform us through the vote. And I think we're just going to, I will be amazed if Donald Trump can prevail, to be honest with you. Betty, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your call. Let's go to another girl in Louisiana. Hi, Joan. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Joan. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you. But actually, I'm a Texas girl.
Oh, it says okay. Well, then I'll give you proper credit. All right.
Louisiana's our sister. Sandy, thank you for your program. Not only are you so good with what you do, but I learned so much from your audience, and they give me hope. This morning I was praying because I get so overwhelmed sometimes with what's going on, and it's like the Holy Spirit just very sweetly said to me, stop trying to list everything. Pray for the people. Pray for my people, because I've already told you, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Sandy, they're dividing and conquering us. We're running around in circles. We just need to ask God to do what needs to be done. I can't list everything because I don't even know everything. But when you think about this morning, the lady that was just talking about the new ruling, you know, in all my prayers this morning, I didn't pray for that. But God knows what's going on. So I was just praying that God would eliminate the evil and elevate the good. And then it was like, stop praying for individual things and pray for the Christian people that are called by my name. Sandy, we can't even agree on anything. I mean, when you have a Christian voting for Hillary Clinton's policies, how do they justify that?
Well, Joan, let me interject something before we run out of time here. You may have heard this show this week that I did on this call to repentance and renewal. It's an open letter to Christian pastors, leaders, and believers who assist the anti-Christian progressive political movement in America. And it is a very powerful letter about biblical truth. It talks about how George Soros has bought off many religious, evangelical, Catholic leaders, organizations. It exposes all of that, and it's found at AmericanEvangelicals.com. I suggest all of you check this out. Read this letter. Give it to your pastors. Let's get the word out. This is a call to biblical views on America, on these moral principles, and understanding that we are being co-opted, as Joan said, by insidious forces. There's no question about it. Joan, thank you for your call. The one good thing I would say, though, I know that God is raising up his people. I see it. I hear it in your voices, that he's doing a work in you. And then he's quickening our spirits for the next step. And this is an exciting time to live. As difficult as it is, we are not dull. We are not bored. We are quickened to the Holy Spirit during this time. And I thank God for that. And I know that you do too. All right, so fasten your seatbelts. And don't forget to go to church on Sunday. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio. American Family Radio.